Live. With Man, the podcast.
Yes. Our first episode is here. Man, the podcast has arrived. Yes. Karibu sana kwenye episode ya kwanza ya Man, the podcast, ambapo we are discussing everything men, but specifically about mental health. Yeah, tunakaa pamoja, tunazungumza challenges ambazo wanaume tunapitia, lakini vile vile ni kwa namna gani these challenges na impact our mental health, na what can we do tunapokuwa kwenye such situations, nini ambacho tunaweza tukafanya ili kuweza kujikwamua kutokana na stress, drama, or the pressure that comes with being a man. Especially an African man, especially a Tanzanian man. That is what Man, the podcast is all about. Join wanaume tukae, tuzungumze, to discuss challenges zetu. And tugundue kwamba kuweka vitu moyoni au kukomaa wenyewe, it doesn't always work. Sisi ni vijana, sisi wanaume tunapitia mengi sana. And that is why we decided to have Man, the podcast. I posted a tweet sometimes the end of last year kwamba I'm going to do a podcast on mental health for men. So I'm here to deliver on that promise. Mimi naitwa Michael Baruti. Asante sana kwa kusikiliza. And I hope you enjoy the ride, man. I hope at the end of the day utapata kitu ambacho kwa namna moja au nyingine kitarahisisha mizigo mikubwa ambayo wanaume tunaibeba. So karibu sana and asante kwa kuchagua kusikiliza
Man, the podcast.
Na katika episode yetu ya kwanza leo tutakuwa na story ya mtu ambaye anaitwa Mark. Of course, Mark sio jina lake halisi. Mark ni jina ambalo tumempa ili kuweza kuficha identity yake, kumfanya comfortable zaidi kuzungumza. Kwa hiyo Mark atatuambia changamoto alizokutana nazo katika maisha yake ambazo zilimvuruga sana to the exit ya kwanza kujiquestion yeye kama mwanaume kwamba kipi ni sahihi, kipi ambacho sio sahihi, kipi ambacho natakiwa kufanya, kipi ambacho sipaswi kufanya katika situation kama inatokaje. So sikiliza na uelewe kitu ambacho Mark alipitia na ni kwa namna gani Mark aliweza kusurvive mpaka kufikia hapo. Lakini pia tutakuwa na Nadia Ahmed. Nadia ni mtaalamu mumbi wa shauri na saa au tunasema counseling. So Nadia atakata sikiliza na atatuambia kwamba tunapokutana na challenges kama hizo, sisi kama wanaume namna gani tunasurvive? Ni namna gani tunaweza tukatoka hapo? Kwa sababu moja kati ya issue ambazo zilizopo kwa wanaume wengi wa Kitanzania ni kwamba hatuzungumzii changamoto zetu. Tunapenda kuzungumzia mafanikio, tunapenda kuona mafanikio, lakini hatuzungumzii changamoto zetu. There is no shame in saying you need help. So I hope you enjoy this ride. I hope utakaa na sisi mpaka mwisho, utasikiliza na kuna kitu umepata. Na vile vile kama utakuwa una kitu ambacho unataka kutuambia, you know, find us. Check me out on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, popote pale Facebook, popote ambapo unaweza kunipata kwa jina la Michael Baruti, and then niambie chochote ambacho unataka kuniambia. So karibu sana kwenye episode yetu ya kwanza kabisa ya our podcast Man, the podcast.
Man, the podcast.
Without further ado, let me bring to you the guest ambotil in our studio. So on my far left hand side we have Mark. Yeah, Mark, karibu.
Asante sana.
Yeah, and by the way, Mark is not his real name, but tumeamua kumbatiza jina humu studio ili tuweze kuwa comfortable zaidi kwenye kuzungumzia challenges ambazo tunataka kuzi address kwa leo. But apart from that, tuna Nadia. Nadia, can you introduce yourself?
Hello everyone, I'm Nadia, a psychologist and registered counselor. I know you must be wondering what is she doing in a men's podcast, but I'm here to chime in and give my two cents on mental health for men.
For men, yeah, that's really, really important. As we start, ningependa kwanza kumuuliza Nadia, what is your take home, mtazamo wako uko vipi kuhusiana na swala zima la mental health for men, especially wa Tanzania?
Okay, so one, mental health is equal for both. So both wanawake na wanaume tuna struggle. You know, we struggle physically, we struggle mentally. But our culture has raised men to be a bit more tougher, if I can say, than women. So wanaume wanajikuta in a position kwamba when they are struggling with something, it's harder for them to ask for help. It's harder for people to accept that a man is asking for help. So even when you master the courage to do ask, people receive you with a bit of hesitation, like you should be able to handle this.
Yeah.
You know, so mental health for Tanzanian men is very important. Ukiangalia the suicide rates in our country, they're very high. Yeah, and the percentage is mostly men.
Mm.
You know, and suicide is a mental health issue.
Mm.
It's issues that you can get help for, you can be treated for. Mm. You don't have to die by suicide. But a lot of our men, we're losing them by that. a lot of our men are struggling to cope, are struggling, but no one knows. You know, marriages fail, families are disrupted, children are hurt, jobs are lost because of mental health issues that we're dealing with that we're not ready to accept, and we don't know where to go for help.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. Katika muda ambao umefanya kazi, especially kwenye mambo ya kutoa ushauri, counseling and therapy, ukijaribu kuangalia in terms of ratio ya watu ambao wanakuja zaidi kwa kati ya wanaume na wanawake, ipi imezidi zaidi?
Oh, hands down, I get more women in my practice than men.
Why?
But I do have men.
This is interesting.
Yes.
This is really, really interesting. So we'll get into that a little bit later. Mark.
Yes, sir.
Mambo vipi?
Safi kabisa.
Nice seeing you, man.
Nice seeing you.
The reason you're here, or the reason I thought kwamba it was ni muhimu zaidi kwanza kuzungumza na wewe kwenye ni kwamba I know you went through some stuff in the past. But for people who do not know, can you just tell us what happened to you, or what can you share with us the whole ordeal, your experience na what it did to you?
Sijui nianzie wapi.
Anzia mwanzo mzee.
Okay. Kwangu mimi ilianza the moment nilipo funga ndoa. So nafikiri kama mtu mwingine yote niliingia kwenye ndoa nikiwa na hopes and dreams kama mtu mwingine yote na expectations. Tuseme kuanzia mwezi mmoja au miwili baada ya kuwa katika ndoa nilianza ku notice vitu ambavyo kwa mwenzangu ambavyo before havikuwepo kabisa. Ni kama vile kuna upande fulani nikaanza kuona ambao kwa muda nilikuwa najaribu kukataa ndani ya akili yangu kutokana na jinsi mimi ninavyofahamu na nilivyomzoea. After miaka 4 sasa by then ya kuwa pamoja.
So you dated for about 4 years.
Yes, kitu kama hicho. Yes.
Okay.
Kwa hiyo nilikuwa na ile imani ya 4 years kwamba huyu mtu namfahamu vizuri na nimeshakuwa naye vizuri na hakukuwa na jipya la kutarajia zaidi ya kufanya mipango ya kuendelea mbele zaidi. Baada ya kuwa nimefunga ndoa kama almost mwezi mmoja hivi, nilivamiwa na vibaka, nikaibiwa simu na wallet and everything. Unaona? Yeah. So sikuwa hewani kwa muda kama miezi mitatu. Okay, nilikuwa napatikana kwenye, lakini sikuwa kwenye social media. So kwa kukiibuka issues, sensitive issues ambazo labda ni za familia na nini na nini, alikuwa ananipatia simu yake ndio anaangalia kwa kupitia zile groups kwa sababu naye yupo. Just once, sio hata kwamba mtu alikuwa na hiyo intention, lakini nilijikuta nimestumble upon chat room yake ile. Lakini ilitokea tu nikawa nimefungua conversation moja. Sikuwa hata nimeplan au sikuwa nafikia chochote. Text ambazo zilikuwa tu hapo displayed hapo baada tu ya kufungua zilikuwa zinaonyesha something totally different. Kana kwamba kulikuwa kama kuna mahusiano ambayo yanaonekana yalisitishwa baada ya yeye kuingia kwenye ndoa.
Like yalikuwa na exist mpaka mnapoenda kwenye ndoa.
Exactly.
Lakini made it baada ya ndoa ndo they stop.
Ehe.
Wow.
Sasa kilichokuwa hapo kinazungumziwa ni kama discussion ya kwa nini yalisita na if anything yanawezaje kurudishwa given the situation ilivyo. Nili address the situation, niliongea na best friend wangu akaambia bana wewe cha kufanya table this thing muongelee kwa sababu uwezo wako kana ndani. So I did, na yeye akawa ameniashua kwamba it's really not kile ambacho nakifikiria. Unaona? So anyway, maybe nikaachana naye. Unaona? Lakini hiyo ndio kwa ni first hint. Miezi sita mbele sikuwa tena ukatokea sui incident gani sikumbuka, lakini nikawa tena nina simu yake nikakutana tena the same name. So when I looked ndo nikakuta huyu mwenzangu anamwambia yule bwana kwamba I want you and you will always be on my mind. Now the guy akawa ana react kwa kuesha kama vile is trying to kuweka space fulani na nini kwamba hey, but you know, jamaa kwa anambia kwamba yeah, you know your situation now na nini, and I believe things are okay at your home na nini. So yeah, akawa anamjibu anambia yeah, things may be okay but you may be even better, you see. And I saw that na basi ikawa ni conversation na hivyo ikawa anasema kwamba I think it's not a bad thing if we still a kiss from time to time na see how that goes. I got furious like anybody would. I got furious. Tuagombana sana. Basi toka wakati huo mimi nilicheka kama a mark ambayo sikuwahi ku anticipate especially kwa huyo mtu. You see?
Yeah.
Tulijaribu ku fix your situation na nini? Yeah, of course tuli fix your situation. Na mimi nikaenda nikaongea paka na
how did you fix it?
We had to talk.
Just you and her.
Yeah.
You didn't involve the whole, you know how we solve our problems, call your parents, call my parents,
yeah.
You know, call the priest, da 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 da. Everybody there. Oh, you went just the two of you.
Mimi sikutaka itoke. For maybe one or two reasons. Kwanza kwangu nilikuwa naona aibu kwamba ndani ya huu muda mfupi siwezi kuanza kuja na issue kama hizi from my wife. Kwangu mimi imekuwa ni kitu ambacho niliona aibu sana. And then cha pili nikasema you know hii ni ndoa. So maybe hii ndo tunaita misalaba yenyewe ambayo you have to kufight nayo sasa.
Yeah.
So before nianze kukimbilia huku na huku ngoja nikomae mwenyewe. And I did. And we fixed it. So I thought. Naone? Nikawa napitia kipindi fulani kigumu cha kuwa na mawazo sana because I don't know how it works but kwetu sisi wanaume when you face situation kama hii kwa mtu wako kidogo ni ngumu sana kukaa sawa tena. We're built to be tough na nini unaona?
Yeah,
so
as a man, how did it make you, you know, ilikufanya the ones that yourself a bit of self doubt?
Hicho ndio kitu cha kwanza ambacho anafanya.
Yeah.
Kwa sababu unaanza kujiuliza maswali mengi kwamba na fail wapi? You know, I work to the bone to provide, unaona?
Yeah.
Najinyima so many things just to make sure I keep things steady. You see? Na kama huyu mtu akili yake anakuwa namna hii, ina maana huko kwingine atakapokuwa anaenda potential atakuwa na jaribu kutafuta vitu ambavyo clearly hapa hamna. You see? So hiyo kwa mimi kama mwanaume inakushusha sana yani. Inakudemoralize, inakuvuruga, utaanza ku feel like you're not good enough for anything. Utaanza ku feel like yani you were meant to suffer, unaona? Hata baada ya kusolve hiyo kitu, hilo kovu unabaki nalo. Unajua it will take time
to heal. Yeah.
Na sio tu time, pia it take effort ya mwenzako pia kukusaidia ku heal, unaona? Lakini kwa upande wake yeye sasa haikuwa tena hivyo kwa sababu it's like gradually alikuwa anaenda anazidi kurudi kule. Sasa the worst part ni kwamba nilikuwa namuona and I did not know what to do. Sikujua namfuata nani, na hata ningejua kumfuata sikujua namwambia nini. Lakini kabla ya divorce tuliachana kwa fashion ya yeye kuniambia mimi kwamba hakuwa tayari kuingia kwenye ndoa. Alifanya mistake. Alidhani kwa kuolewa na mimi angekuwa ame change au fix maisha yake kwa namna moja ama nyingine kama vile ambavyo mtu yote ambavyo angeza ka expect. Lakini baada ya kuingia kwenye ndoa alirealize kwamba sivyo.
Oh, hebu take it back a little bit. Alivyosema kwamba alikuwa anategemea kwamba ange fix maisha yake. Do you know alikuwa anamaanisha nini?
Alipokuwa chuo alipata mtoto. Kwa hiyo vile jicho la familia kwake lilibadilika. Expectations za familia kwa ujumla zilibadilika. Na clearly alianza kupitia treatment ambayo haikuwa nzuri. Kwa hiyo na yeye huko kwa alikuwa under so much pressure, unaona? Na wakati huo wote mimi ndo nilikuepo nikimsupport kwa namna zote ambazo naweza. Na yule mtoto aliyokuwa amemzaa hakuwa wangu. But mimi I just need kwa tu vyote. Nafikiri alikuwa anajua kwamba akiingia kwenye ndoa perhaps haya huku sasa nayo yatazimika. Lakini sasa mimi sasa nicho establish hicho ndio alichokuwa anakisema. Nicho ki notice ni kama vile yeye kwanza kwa kupata mtoto ile life aliyokuwa anataka ku experience alikosa tena hiyo chance. Lakini sasa ukiingia kwenye ndoa unaingia kwenye ulimwengu wa responsibility nyingine kabisa, unaona? Ambapo sasa na hiyo nayo ikaanza na kama kumbana. You see? Wa upande mmoja wakati pia tumeingia kwenye ndoa, after a while I had to leave my relatives. Wakuwa mekuja na nina nina and then wakuwa nataja place to stay na nina, so I had to stay with them because I had a fairly big house. Nikachua nkawa nakaa nao, ambayo nafikiri kwa context yetu ya Kiafrika huwa sio tatizo sana. Tunakuwa kwenye nyumba za ndugu zetu,
extended family.
Sisi mimi mwenyewe pia nimeishi hivyo, nimekuwa hivyo na kwa hiyo it's ni kitu ambacho wala hata sio cha kujiuliza sana. Nilianza ku notice hiyo, ilianza kumpa pressure au kumfanya kuwa uncomfortable. Sasa mimi nikawa najiuliza kwa mtu ambaye hata naye mwenyewe pale kwa wameishi watu wengi sana na alikuwa totally okay, how comes huku inakuja kuwa that much of a problem? Baada ya kuondoka kwamba no, hiyo haiwezi kuwa tatizo, lazima kutoka kuna kitu kingine. Sasa hiyo ilikuwa during that time sasa ambao tuko kwenye ndoa, ambapo baadaye idadi ya wanaume kwenye maisha yake tuliongezeka from aliye rasmi ambaye I believe ilikuwa ni mimi tu, wengine ambao kama wanne au watano, na hao nao wataja ni wao mbale ambao actually nilipata evidence, you see, raw untouched evidence.
After the divorce, after the whole separation thing, maisha yako yalikuwaje from there? Did you uliona immediately after the divorce, did you feel kwamba sasa I'm better off on my own, au ilikuwa ni kipindi ambacho yani like you really really struggled kurudi kuendelea kawaida?
Kwanza the divorce ilichukua muda. Unajua amwezi msema mnaachana leo and then kesho kishokutwa
divorce.
Ndoa au relationship inachukua watu wawili. So kuna hicho kifungo kwanza ni ambacho mimi nilikuwa naishi nacho. Every day. Unaamka asubuhi, unalala usiku. Yani uko mwenyewe na yeye yupo but uko mwenyewe. Paka hapo unakuwa tayari umeshaingia kwenye shimo moja ambalo you first have to climb up ili tu kwanza ufike kwenye ile normal level, unaona? Kwa yeye baada ya kufanya ile mambo yote finally akaja akaniambia kwamba ndo hiyo hakuwa tayari na nini, na kwa sababu hiyo ameamua kupanga sehemu yake, anahamia huko. Analipa rent ya miezi 6. Atakapomaliza rent yake then maybe tutaweza kuongea. Wakati huo mimi nilikuwa tayari ni kama yule mtu ambaye anajua kifo kipo imminent, yani kwamba it's just a matter of sangapi but you will die, unaona? Siku ananipigia simu niko kazini. Ananiambia we need to talk. Kuna kitu kiliniingia, nikajua kabisa kwamba leo ndo siku ya kupewa notice. Nikarudi nyumbani, nikakaa naye chini, ndo akaniambia hivyo vitu. Kwa hiyo aliponiambia hivyo mimi nilitoka hapo, yani niliwataarifu tu kwamba yametimia. Hakukuwa na kingine zaidi. Basi kesho yake alitoka akaenda kazini na ndio hakurudi tena. Nikawa nimeachwa kwenye mji wangu wa ndoa na ndugu zangu wanaoniona na struggle but hawajui ni kitu gani pressure, wanajua yule anansumbua lakini mimi siwezi kuwafungukia wao, as it is wana depend kwangu, na waonyeshaje kwamba niko broken kiasi hiki ndani? Sina wa kumwambia, you see, huwezi kulia because
a man is not supposed to cry, Mark.
Yeah, that's my dad told me that.
That is what we were told since we were kids. Like, man is not supposed to cry.
My dad and Nambia have such a kid to men don't cry. So, baada kama 2 or 3 days ndo nikawafahamisha ndugu zangu what had been happening. Kwa mimi pale, from the day ameondoka tarehe 1 December 2016, from that day mimi nilianza kufight ku rebuild maisha yangu mimi kama mimi mwenyewe. Binafsi sikuwa na pakwenda. A time or two nilikachenda nikazungumza na mapadri, wakanishauri vizuri sana namna kufanya na nini. Lakini pia kuna ndugu zake wengine tulikaa nao wakawa wana sorry wanajaribu
kuresolve.
Yeah, kuresolve, lakini
yeah. At that point did you feel like ingeweza kuwa resolved or for you kuona hiyo kwamba it's gone?
It was a dead horse. Mimi nilikuwa yani nilikuwa naiona because wao walikuwa wanajaribu ku hawakuwa wanajaribu ku resolve in such.
Yeah.
Walikuwa wanajaribu kukiondoa hiki kikombe cha aibu kukirudisha kwangu kiendelee ku haribikia huko. The problem itself how we addressed. People will pay any price to avoid it. Unaona? Lakini zile small related issues na nini, you came home late, so you ulifanya nini, oh you have to treat your wife like this, oh no season you like you guys yani mmoja akana kuna kikao kimoja tulikaa na another older brother of mine akaja which is one ambao alifanya hivyo wali stick kwenye such issues and so mimi nimekaa hapa niko kimya tu. Baada ya hicho kikao so I sat with my brother and I gave him the full black and white none. He got pissed kwamba kwa nini wamenipotezea muda wangu kumbe if kama haya yote yakuwa yanafanyika the why do we sit down tunaongelea vitu kama vile oh you guys need another house you need a new yani
yeah.
Akasema this thing yani paka hapa it's a disaster yani, you know
sometimes watu wakipitia hivi vitu wao wanatafuta coping mechanism. Kuna wengine they get into alcohol you know mtu anakuwa yani tungi vibaya. Kuna wengine drugs abuse you know. Kuna wengine wanashindwa kujicontrol na ingia kwenye madeni. You know, it's a whole lot of things. What was your coping mechanism? Kuna wengine wanaamua sasa ndo wanafanya kazi 24/7 like they do not do any other thing. For you, can you say unaweza kusema if you look at it now, you know, unaweza kusema what do you think was your coping mechanism?
How did you manage the whole situation? It was quite a heavy situation.
Yeah.
It sounds and it went on for so long. How did you manage to kind of cope with it?
Yeah.
New York Oka. There was no breathing being that could help. So you have to turn your hopes to that one direction ambao unajua. Yani unajua huwa it doesn't fail anyone. Even if you don't see results but you know others get results. So at least you inakupa moyo. You can sleep tonight after you pray knowing kwamba you wake up tomorrow.
Did you consider therapy at one point? Did it cross your mind?
It did. Like in sasa I felt like I didn't know what I was going to say to the therapist. That's yeah. First and then chapili I felt like kwa nature situation yangu takuwa kama vile namkwaza au nampotezea muda. Guys like us, we just meant to, you know, struggle on your own and find your own ways out, you know.
Yeah, and that is why, and that is why we have this man the podcast. We got to talk this thing through, man. Well, Nadia, you know, as a person ambaye una deal na akili na emotions za watu. I know that probably there's somebody who's listening now, who's listening to us right now, probably they're going through a similar situation or they know somebody who is going through a similar situation, you know. What would you advise kwa mtu ambaye anapitia situation kama hiyo? What is the best thing to do?
Okay, so that's a tough question. What you can do, it depends on your unique situation. You know, it depends on the situation you're in. One, depends on you as a person and the resources you have around you. As you mentioned a lot that there were people around you but you didn't feel comfortable sharing it with them. Also, the people you are actually looking after, so it didn't feel that you didn't feel like burdening and it felt like it would be a burden. And even considering therapy, you thought then there isn't a solution for this. I'll just be again burdening this therapist with my problems that I can't really, there isn't a solution in sight, you know. But I feel when you're in kamoko kwenye situation kama hii, lazima just take a step back. One, accept those feelings. And I think that's the biggest thing. Most of us, men and women, but mostly men, deny themselves of feeling the sadness. Like, you felt extremely sad and angry, but you feel like, okay, I cannot express this because I'll either look like an aggressive person or I'll look weak.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know? Which, I mean, if you are having those emotions, then you should be able to express them, you know? Even though in our society you're raised from a young boy, a young girl, akiumia, kaanguka pale, analia, watambembeleza. It's okay.
Yeah.
But a young boy, akidondoka, akaumia, same, like the young girl, I'm going, no, it's fine. Boys don't cry.
Yeah, boys
you know,
don't
you're
cry,
strong.
Yeah.
You know, you don't cry like your sister. Yeah, so from a young age, you're kind of shaped and molded to deny yourself of expressing your emotions. I think the first step is what inability to be aware of. If you're feeling an emotion, you're supposed to be expressing it. You know, emotions don't choose male or female. It's not about gender. These norms that we're taught, men don't cry or boys don't cry, that's normative. You know, it's culturally constructed, socially constructed. But if we are biologically capable of feeling these emotions, these are chemical neurons, hormones that are just produced in your body.
Yeah.
So if they're not supposed to be felt by men, why is the male anatomy producing them? You know, so I feel the first step, just allow yourself to feel the emotion. And if it's not with someone else, then at least at a moment, when you sit somewhere, just to embrace that, okay, right now I'm feeling very angry and I'm feeling very sad. Like, I know culture says I should be strong, you know, I'm a man, but this is what I'm feeling. I think that's one thing most of us kind of overlook. We see, like, it's pointless. What's the point of me crying? But trust me, if you've ever had a crying session, you know how helpful it is. A small fraction of weight has been reduced, and you're able to now take more hits. Yeah? But if you hold that feeling inside, it's like something is choking you, literally. And it's looking for this form of expression.
Yeah.
But haipati. So, again, and that's how people end up doing these negative coping mechanisms. There are some positive ones, like turning to religion, faith. Faith is a big thing. You know, not everyone is religious, but for those who are, faith is a big protective factor. You know, turning to something that's bigger than yourself is very protective. Because when you're facing a problem, your view is becomes very narrow. You just see the problem. You know, and you just see how huge this problem that you're facing right now is. What faith does for you is it narrows it up. Like you said, sure, there must be people God has helped and others that hasn't, but there is some faith. That helps to broaden your view, opens your view. I'm not the only one struggling. You know, there's many of us going through this.
Yeah.
It actually takes your mind, your focus away from your problem, instead of zoning into it. It helps you see the bigger picture that, yeah, this is shitty. It's happening to me.
Yeah.
And I feel terrible about it, but then I'm not alone in it. That's the first step. Because mundo ukikaa, you're focusing on just this, my life is going haywire, and you just focus on the life, your life going haywire. You can't think of solutions.
Because
you're just focusing on the problem.
Mm.
You know, but you're taking that step back and seeing the bigger picture. Kwamba, not denying kwamba it's terrible.
Yeah.
And no one wants to be in such a position. You know, so when something like this happens, it's not something you're prepared for. Because you've entered it with all the best of intention.
There's something I was reading a couple of days ago. Wanasema kwamba society ilivyokuwa set up ni kwamba wanawake au wasichana toka wadogo, they're being told about these things. Mm. You know, they're being told how to treat a man, how to deal with the husband, and if it come in. As for guys, we just gotta somehow find our way through it.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody prepares you for how to have or how to deal with these things if it's okay.
And again, like you mentioned, I think when you were speaking, you were saying, okay, this usually, a woman, it's okay for your husband to be cheating on you. You know, it's not okay. Let me take that back. But it's common. We hear that. We hear that a lot.
Yeah.
And because, again, from the dawn of time, mothers would speak to their daughters, as you said, we're prepared from a young age. You get married, this is what happens. Because of the culture and the community you're raised in. And they're not shy from talking about if the husband has stepped out.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, I know a lot of families where parents really cross those boundary lines with their children, because some children are told, your father is doing this to me.
Mm.
You know, your father is stepping out, but I'm staying here because of you. You know? Mm. Because of y'all's future. So
does that help the child, really?
It doesn't. It really screws the child over. That's another problem.
That's another conversation for some other time.
For some other day. But from a young age, we see mothers, talking openly, kwamba, men cheat. You know, women grow up knowing men cheat. So we build these coping skills to cope when my husband, boyfriend, partner cheats. I know what to do. Template tunayo, mama stayed. You know, she stuck to it.
Yeah.
She you know, she was faithful and she stayed in the marriage. But you rarely hear stories of women cheating with their husbands. But it's not that it doesn't happen. Again, as you said, you felt as a man, this is shameful.
Yeah.
That for me to accept that my wife is cheating on me.
Yeah.
How do I stand up in front of the crowd and say, or in front of, you know, society and say my wife cheated on me? It's also that's one of the reasons why a lot of men hold this back. Because it's not that women never cheat. Women cheat. Like, humans cheat.
Yeah, it's
you know,
human
it's,
beings, yeah.
Yeah, we're fallible. You know, but the picture that has been painted as mostly men are the ones who step out.
Yeah.
Men are the ones who ruin their families. Men are the ones who kind of wreck things, you know? So women are so much more prepared to deal with all these things that will come about in result to a man's actions. But men aren't really prepared. You know, and I'm not, I don't know if fathers speak to their sons and prepare them about these things, but our cultures, I think our families in Tanzania, I don't think you're even mothers talk openly, but I don't think fathers talk about marriage, this is what marriage will be like to their sons. It's more so, you need to be working hard, making money, you're the provider.
Yeah.
Provide.
Yeah.
But there isn't anything to do, what happens when my wife does something that angers me, or what happens if I'm emotionally checking out of this marriage, what should I do? They don't tell you.
Yeah.
You know, and the picture they show you is just deal with it. You know, you're just the provider.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be calm and collected always.
Yeah. So Mark, I wanna ask you something here. I know for most part of your life umekuwa zaidi na mama. You know, as in umekuwa close zaidi na mama, na mama ndio umekuwa naye karibu zaidi kuliko baba.
Yes.
Unadhani, how do you feel kwamba maybe absence ya baba kwa muda mrefu kwako labda imechangia somehow, some way kuleta ugumu labda kwenye connection within the marriage? Do you ishe kutokea labda ukafikiria hivi kwamba kama labda mzee angekuwa around more, maybe angenipa advice more jinsi ya kudiria mambo, probably ningeza kupata guidance, kwa hiyo maybe ningeza kuona ili swala mbali kabla hata ijetokea. Have you ever had that thought?
Many times, actually. Kwa sababu, kama wavosema, I grew up kwa kulelewa na mama for the better part of my life. Toka mdogo, toka nakuwa. Mama, kwangu mimi, had to be mama na baba. She gave everything she had and she could. Unaone? Alifanya everything. Lakini, mwisho wa siku, ye ni mama. Hawezi yaka foot ulo pando apili wa baba. Even though she will try. Na hiyo imekuwa ina impact kwa sababu unajua kuna stages ambazo mtu unaanza kuwa mwanaume, unakuwa unahitaji that guidance, na ile tu presence ya baba inakusaidia kukujenga hata katika decision making na nini. Lakini mimi mama alikuwa anachosha sana kuhakikisha kwamba yeye mwenyewe yupo, na even though baba yupo, basi hata ile kidogo tu tunaweza kupata. Lakini sasa as a man mimi mwenyewe nimeshajitambua ni mwanaume na nini, na hata naanza kubeba majukumu hapa na pale. Mara nyingi sana nilikuwa natamani uwepo wa baba, kwa sababu kuna vitu ambavyo sasa mimi nishakuwa mwanaume siwezi kwenda kumwambia mama, na kadri siku zinavyozidi kwenda nayo vinazidi kuongezeka, unaona. Okay, vipo ambavyo unaweza kujadiliana naye vile ambavyo ni vya kimaisha maisha na nini, lakini kuna vitu ambavyo wanaume mnakaa chini mnaongea unakuwa uwezi, so you have to find maybe an older brother or uncle or nani, or yeah, you know. Kwa kwangu absence ya baba ilinipa gap flani kubwa la kiume, ambao naamini kama angekuwepo kweli, kuna baadhi ya vitu at least vile key angeweza kunisaidia. Mm-hmm. I have a son, two actually, ambao na imagine wao wakue bila mimi. Kwanza I get scared kwa sababu mimi nimekuwa bila baba, unaona? So I get scared at the thought ya kwamba wao wanakuwa alafu mimi sipo. I don't know, I took off or whatever, unaona? Ni kitu ambacho sitaki kuwa deny. I would rather wawe na mimi, wanipate mimi mpaka pale watakapona kwamba all right, mzee pumzika, unaona? Lakini niwepo and I play my part. Kwa sababu impact yake ndo kama hiyo. For instance, nikirefer kwenye hii situation yangu. Many times nilikuwa natamani my dad angekuwepo. Many times nilikuwa natamani ningeweza kukaa naye chini and just niongee naye tu kama mzee. Not necessarily even nataka kumwambia matatizo yangu, but just yeye awepo.
We have a conversation. Mm. Yeah.
Kwa sababu kama vile ambavyo alivyo mama, hata yeye pia ni nguzo ya maisha, unaona? Nitamshield mama from my problems. Kwa sababu najua akijua itam devastate mara mbili. Yeah. You see? So ndo maana nabeba mzigo peke yangu.
You've said something really really important hapa ambapo I would like to hear what mtazamo wa Nadia kwamba as a man you felt like kulikuwa kuna umuhimu wa kumprotect your mom from knowing challenges ambazo unapitia. Lakini unadhani kama baba angekuwepo ungeweza kukaa naye mkaongea kus.
Yes.
Nadia, how important is it to have how do you, I don't even know how to put this, but how do you deal with such situation kwamba I wish my father was here but he's not here.
Mm-hmm.
Siwezi kumwambia mama kwa sababu ya ABCD, sababu you know labda mama ataumia au nini. And wanaume kama walivyo, in nature we are very protective of the people that we love, you know, mama zetu, wake zetu, watoto wetu, you know. So how do you go about that? Or what's your take on that kind of thing? Au kwa mtu ambaye yupo kwenye that kind of situation, how?
I think in that situation, when the father figure is not present, you know, you need to look at, okay, what are the resources? I know you mentioned an older brother or an uncle or someone there. Like, because kuna umuhimu wa familiarity. So it's man to man, the conversation is going to be different. Woman to woman, the conversation is different. And again, it all goes back to culture and the social norms and etc. You know, because then you're feeling that, okay, my mother is here, someone I can talk to, but I want to protect her. Nataka nimshield.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see you that I'm struggling, or I'm, again, you're being that protective. You're anticipating how she will feel about it, denying how you're feeling.
Yes.
About that situation. You know, and that's something a lot of men at us, like, grow up with.
Can you expand on that a little bit more?
I'll take it back to culture and social norms and traditions.
Yeah.
You know, this male is a protector. It's, yes, it's, we can, if we look at evolution, we look at the times have passed, the way things are, it's kind of molded and shaped and put a man in the position of being a protector and a provider.
Yeah.
You know, and in a situation where you feel, I need some support, you need it at that point. You needed your mom or anyone else around you to think about how you're feeling and how we can protect you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but automatically, because of the traditions, the culture, the male norm and stereotype and gender, you took a step back and thought, how will she feel if I am to share what I am feeling right now?
Exactly.
You know, which is another burden you're placing on yourself. You know, there isn't any other way around it. It's really important kujua kwamba how she deals with it and how she receives it is her. You know, as much as we want to protect and shield people, she probably ended up finding out at the end.
Did.
You know, so rather seeing, looking out for you. I know it's against our culture or tradition to be selfish.
This is why we have this podcast here. We yes. want to challenge those things.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this it's basically general self-care. You know, you thinking about you first. Do I need to speak to someone about this? And I trust my mother. You know, she's been there all my life. She's the one who raised me. She knows me in and out. Yeah. So that, when you feel the need to protect her, that's a cue for you to take a step back and think, okay, maybe she can handle it. You know, because I need this the most. Just gauging that. A lot of the times we struggle on our own because of that. Oh, I don't know how they will handle it. I feel it will be a burden on them. Or you start now anticipating, analyzing how the other person will feel once you share what you're going through. That's not your job. You know, it's not your job how the other person will feel. You know, it's how you choose to convey your message or convey what you're going through. That's important. Because, yeah. No, Takuta, but after a while, after everything goes down, she'll be like, why didn't you come to me and tell this? You know, why did you have to go through this alone? You know, and then it's another issue that, okay, then that brings up feelings of, okay, maybe he doesn't trust me enough, or maybe I wasn't good enough of a mother. Mm. You know, I didn't parent my child well enough to feel comfortable and confident to talk to me. So now you are avoiding burdening her, but in hindsight, we don't know. Yes. Problem. You know, you don't know what will come up in her mind. When it comes to mental health, social support is so important. I don't even know how to stress that. It is so important.
But then sometimes I feel like in most cases, people tunaangalia watu wanaotuzunguka, and the first thing that comes to our mind is, are they going to judge me for that? You know, inakuja kwa kesi ya Mark, alikuwa anafikiria kwamba as a man, watanichukuliaje mimi napenda kuambia kwamba my wife cheated on me, not once, not twice. You know, so then unaanza ku question, okay, who do I talk to? A lot of that inakuja kichwani kwako. You know, a lot of that inakuja kichwani kwako. Ndio maana nikamuuliza kwamba did you think about therapy? But then inakuja swala vile understanding yetu sisi kama wa Tanzania about therapies. Yani sio kitu ambacho tumekulia nacho. Utaambiwa nenda kanisani au ongea na mtu fulani, ongea na mtu fulani, lakini hakuna mtu ambaye anakuambia nenda kwenye therapy. Though I know it helps. Nimekutana na watu ambao wameenda kwenye therapy na wamesema ni kwa namna gani imewasaidia.
Coming back from, will they judge me, or will they like look at me different after I tell them what I'm going through? I think most important, you can't avoid that, because again, we cannot control other people. We have no power whatsoever over the next person. We just have control over ourselves, you know. But the key thing to look for when you do decide, okay, I think I need to speak to someone about this, someone you trust. So that's the first thing I stress. Is this person a person you trust, and you have faith that they will not be judgmental? That's another thing that we're often scared about is, okay, nikimwambia huyu kitafika na kwa jirani na the next person and the next person, and next thing I know, Dar es Salaam nzima wanajua what I'm going through.
Hey, Dar es Salaam is such a small city.
Exactly.
Everybody knows everybody.
Yes. So that's tough. It's our reality.
Yeah.
Sometimes some people don't even choose to be judgmental. It's this automatic thing that happens.
Yeah.
But you need to be the person to gauge, okay, is this person, do I trust this person? Have I trusted them before? And people gain your trust. You don't just trust someone randomly. Unawajaribu na vitu kidogo kidogo. Tell them something small, see their reaction. So before you like give them the whole package, the whole bomb, you start small bits of information and see how they react to that.
Yeah.
You know, so come on, you test them in a way. It's like you're vetting to see, is this person, you know, can I trust them? Because that's, how do you get trust? You do that slowly, gradually. You test them, you see how they respond, how they react to the information, what they do with it, you know, and then that's how you gain that confidence. So they need to gain these trust points from you. Consciously, I'm trying to test you. I'm testing you. They don't need to know that you're testing them.
Where
I just give them pieces of, you know, little information that you're okay with getting out there. So just in case it does, it's not something that will harm you. But if they keep on showing you that, okay, I'm trustworthy, I'm keeping it, I'm not being judgmental, then once they've gained a lot of your trust points, then you know, okay, this person I can actually trust. If they do break your trust after that, at least you've done your due diligence. Yeah. Sometimes the people we kabisa hatujawafikiria kabisa are the ones that will keep your trust.
Yeah.
The ones you are like, this person I can trust 100%, is the one that will break it.
Yeah.
You know, so people surprise you.
How important was it for you to have the right support system to help you get through what you were going through then? How important was it?
It was very important. During that time, you're going through something major, you see? You're not living a normal life. It's like, if this is the road where that's everyone is walking on, you're on the side road, you see? You probably, your vehicle probably has three tires or something. That's where you are, you see? So everything else is normal, save from you. You're not getting support. First, in my case, ilivyokuwa, during that difficult time, I think watu wakuwa menizunguka, waliona kwamba I'm trying hard to be strong, naona? I'm trying hard to be tough. So what they did, one or another, wali nisaidia kwa kupunguza the pressure around me. You see? So akawa supportive
sana. Made you feel kwamba it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah. Walionyesha kwamba it's alright. Na not only that, sisi tupo, and most importantly, we understand, naona? So you will feel down, you feel bad, it's okay, you know? We're here, naona? I got my brothers, my friends, you know, we'll go out, come on, man, after work, come on, let's go out, do this, do that, have fun, go home, sleep, naona? So I had that kind of support, naona? Most people around me walikuwa wanajaribu ku avoid bringing up the subject. Mara nyingi.
Now, is that a good thing or not a good thing? Because sometimes we know our friends are going through stuff and we want to be there for them, but then we feel like, should I bring this up or should I not bring this up?
Yeah, that's another tricky thing. You need to like kind of really gauge, because sometimes it's really important when people see that you're struggling, when someone acknowledges that, I notice that you're fighting really hard to get through the day. That in itself, someone seeing that we're going through something is a really good thing, you know, for your emotional well-being or mental well-being.
Yes.
Because then at that point you know that this person actually cares enough to point out that they're noticing me struggling. So apo, they're identifying themselves as a support, a potential support structure or unit.
Yeah.
You know? Because when people avoid, then you start questioning, am I supposed to be feeling this way? You know, people are, I know they can see what I'm going through, but no one's really addressing it. So your emotions, you yourself, it feels like you're not being seen. But in other moments, you need people to kind of not poke and prod when you're still trying to process everything that's happening. So it is very tricky.
So it really is about finding that balance.
Yes, it's really finding that balance. Because mda mwingine, I want you to tell me, oh, Nadia, I know you've had a hard day. Yeah? Let's go have a drink. Other days, I want you to be like, you're coping very well. You know, you're doing very well. And just avoid that subject.
Yeah.
But you really need to, it's quite difficult. But you need to really observe the person that's going through this and see what would they need right now.
Yeah.
And we give out those cues.
Yeah.
You know, some days we're much stronger than others. Other days we slack.
Yeah.
When we're trying so hard to keep this front, then naomba tafadhali usigonge this wall. Just don't knock it, because it's a very fragile wall that I'm putting up. And for now, I need it to be up there so I can process.
Mm.
You know, other times where the wall is semi there, we're expressing but we're not, that's the time you need to step in and say, I see this is what's happening, do you want to talk about it? You know, it's as simple as that. Do you want to talk? I'm here if you want to talk to me. That's like an invitation. If the person does not want to talk about it, they're like, no, it's fine, I'm okay, thank you. Yeah. But if they needed someone to talk to, that invite is all he needed or she needed to just open up.
Yeah, so basically it is really, really important to have that na a very good support system.
Yes.
Watu ambao wanakujua, watu ambao wanaelewa, probably people who understand what you're going through, then inakuwa rahisi wenyewe kuweza kujua how to deal with you in such case. Are you happy now?
Yes, I am.
You found love again?
Oh, yes. I crawled up the hole, man. I found the light.
Oh, yeah. Things are better now.
And I'm blessed with the sun.
Wow. Yeah. And you feel like you're in a very good place mentally and emotionally right now?
Now I feel very good. I'm very happy. I often look back at where I went and what I've been through. And I just appreciate everything, and that I'm still alive and I didn't lose my mind, even though I was that close, you know?
But that... interesting. If you were to advise someone who's about to get into marriage now, I'm not saying, I hope you're not going to tell them don't get married, but if you are to advise somebody who's about to get into marriage, ushauri wako utamwambia nini? As a man, what would you tell another man?
Two things. First of all, that's from my perspective. Mm. Marriage was never and is not a problem. It wasn't. In my case, I love being married. I enjoyed it. It's something that I'm still, you know, I'm looking forward to it, you know. It's something that I believe it's natural to human beings, and at some point we all need that lifetime commitment. It's a good thing, you know. It sets a good foundation for family and everything, and I support that by 110%. People are the ones with problems, not the marriage. The marriage is there.
Yeah.
The marriage is there.
Yeah.
But we are the ones with issues. Yeah, if you, it's like saying maybe what, it's how should I, maybe like a job post or something, a position. Mm. The position is there, but who qualifies for it?
Yeah.
You see?
Well, that's a nice way to look at it.
Yeah. If you qualify, you will get it and you will enjoy working on it, performing and enjoying the benefits. But if you don't, say if you pick someone random and just put him in that position, they will fail, probably collapse the entire company, you see? Mm. So it's something of that sort. So marriage, it's not a problem.
Mm.
We are the problem. People have issues, you see? So that's the first thing. That's the first thing I would say. But the second thing is, if a person wants to get married, if they feel they're ready and they have the right person, then go ahead.
Mm.
Go ahead. Don't even waste time, you know.
Yeah. Nice, man. Mm. Nadia, how do people get in touch with you? If a person is listening to us right now and they feel like, man, I really, really need some help.
Yes.
Oh, I need somebody to talk to. How do they reach out to you?
Well, I'm all over the place.
They can slide in your DMs.
I'm very active on social media. Yeah. So you can check either my company page, so Mind Matters Counseling and Human Development. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram as Mind Matters Tanzania, I'm on LinkedIn as Mind Matters, and I'm sure if you search my name, Nadia Ahmed, I should be able to pop up.
How many Nadia Ahmed can we get on Google?
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah. Maybe narrow it down to Tanzania.
Yeah.
But I am available. Maybe we can put down my information.
Yeah.
As part of the link or description down there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm here. I'm practicing full time.
One of the reasons, what you should get on the summer, you guys are expensive.
Yes.
You guys are very expensive. We cannot afford you. Sio kwamba hakuna watu wenye hizo challenges. Sio kwamba watu they hawatafuti watu kwingine, ila you guys are just expensive. So it makes it hard kwa mtu ambaye Tanzania kawaida ambaye nilisha familia mfanye family, and then I need to take care of my mental health by meeting a specialist.
Yes. Well, there, most of us, well, I know for myself, I have a sliding scale. Mm. So we look at what is your income, what are you making?
Okay.
What is my price?
Yeah.
Where can we meet? Where each of us is happy.
Great.
You know, so that's a service, and I feel a lot of different therapists have it.
Yeah.
Here. I'm not sure specifically, but I know I have that service. Okay. I even do.
Kwa watu kusababu nadi ya mungia kingereza, kwa watu ambao hamjaelewa, anachomaanisha, ukienda kwake, atakwambia yeye anachaji kiasi gani, lakini utangana we una earn au unapata kiasi gani. Mm. Alafu mnaweza mkaongea mkafikia kiasi ambacho wote wawili mtaridhika nacho.
Ndiyo.
Na mnaweza mkafanya kazi vizuri from there. Yeah.
And the sessions usually like kawaida ni once a week, like consecutive sessions.
Yeah.
Lakini depending again on your budget and how much you can put aside for your mental health.
Yeah.
It can be once after 2 weeks, or it can be once a month. You know, sometimes that's, you need an outlet, and that's it, and get some tools from your therapist, and then you go off and work on them.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be traditionally every other week we have to meet.
Yeah.
If your budget doesn't allow that, then it can be once in a month.
Yeah.
You know, once after every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of options. Like, I think a lot of people wanaogopa, so they don't really bother asking because they're already thinking they're expensive. It is a lot of work. I don't even know what is done here. Unajua, it's like, what do I sit there and I tell them my problems, then what? You know, what happens then? But it's really, it's not that hard. Just if you just call up any psychologist and be like, naomba uniambie kwanza wewe unafanya nini? Now, how does this work? And, you know, what exactly can I get out of this? A lot of us, we're open. We're ready to have this conversation. You know, it's just that people are afraid that if I ask, then I'm trapped. You're not. You're not supposed to ever feel like just by emailing or asking on the phone, then you're committing yourself. And I get a lot of people on aniuliza on social media. So how much is your fees? Do you offer this? What can I get from this? And then they never come back. Maybe the responses they got, they didn't like. Wengine, they get to understand better. And then they show up. You know, so, again, uliza. Bei yako shingapi? Mbona it's a bit too much. Me, I can afford X amount. Atakwambia, okay, X amount works for me. When do you want to schedule? Or X amount doesn't work for me, but najua mtu who charges that much. You know, so, but if you don't ask, you're never going to know.
You're never going to know. The podcast. Na hapa tumefikia mwisho kabisa wa episode yetu ya kwanza ya Men, the podcast. We had Mark in the studio na umemsikia story yake. Lakini pia asante kwa Nadia ambaye tulikuwa naye hapa. Ametusaidia sana kuelewa mambo mengi na kujua kwenye such situations at least wapi pa kuanzia. And that's the most important thing. Ameongea umuhimu wa kuaccept kwamba, yo man, you're going through some shit. Kubali. Kwanza kubali kabisa kwamba yes, ninachopitia ni kitu kigumu na I don't have to be brave about it. Yaani ninapitia ni kitu kigumu na nahitaji msaada, hiyo moja. Lakini pili, angalie seiko yako. Angalia katika seiko yako ni nani anaweza kuwa support system. You know, it could be your moms, could be your dad, it could be your close friends. Angalia watu gani ambao kwenye seiko yako kweli wanaweza kuwa watu ambao wanaweza kukupa ile support ambayo unahitaji, hata kujudge, hata kufanya nini. And then be honest about your feelings. Tafuta watu ambao unaweza kuongea nao na kwa kuelewa. And the most important thing is push comes to shove, tafuta msaada wa wataalamu kabisa. I recommend therapy na nashauri sana. I'm not saying you should do that, lakini ni ushauri wangu ambao mimi naweza kutoa. Nadia yupo, na kama umemsikiliza na utataka contact zake, find a way to reach me and then nitakulink up na itakupa msaada sana. Kumbuka wewe kama mwanaume unasikiliza kipindi hiki, wewe kama mwanaume unasikiliza episode hii, hauko peke yako. We all go through some challenges, man. Wote tunapitia mambo mengi sana. Mengine tunaweza kuongea, mengine tunaona kama hatuwezi kuongea. Lakini all I know is talking about things inasaidia sana. You're not alone. Sio peke yako ambaye unapitia changamoto. And I'm here, man. The brother is here. I'm here. Let's talk. Let's talk, man. Let's talk. Hit me up. Let's talk. We'll let you know when we're dropping our next podcast on Men, the podcast. Please stay safe. Please take care of yourself. And the most important thing, take care of your mental health. It is pretty much everything. Mpaka next time, mimi naitwa Michael Baruti. Asante sana kwa kusikiliza and enjoy the day. Live. You're listening to Live with Men, the podcast.